We're going to take a short break for one of our sponsors. I haven't tried this one, but it looks well worth checking out if weight loss has been an ongoing challenge for you. Robody pairs medication options with diet and exercise modifications to achieve your desired goal. Before being prescribed any medication, patients complete an online medical visit, lab test, and more to see if you're right for their program. You can sign up online, which means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Their data shows that average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/untangle. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 a month for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/untangle. Now, back to our show. We're taking a short break to tell you a little bit about the 10% Happier podcast hosted by my friend Dan Harris. It has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, so why not master it? I recently talked to him on our show about what has changed since he wrote 10% Happier 10 years ago. A lot. Dan was once a fidgety, skeptical journalist, but after suffering a panic attack on national television, he decided to change his life. This journey led him to learn everything he could about the human psyche. Now he's on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Each week, he talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity, exploring topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. He's funny. He's smart. He's one of the best interviewers I know. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. The 10% Happier podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome to Untangle, the podcast from Muse, the brain sensing headband that helps you meditate and sleep, and Meditation Studio, the 5-star app. I'm Patricia Karpus. Today's guest is Monique Billings. Monique is a professional basketball player for the Atlanta Dream of the Women's National Basketball Association. She was drafted into the WNBA in 2018. She's also an athlete, Muse ambassador. I loved hearing her personal story about growing up with a strong family foundation. She also talked quite a bit about her meditation practice, her commitment to self-care and finding balance, and her daily healthy routines. She has an amazing inner compass and an ability to follow her gut, her intuition, and her spirit. She shares how. She's a pretty wise soul. Now, here's Monique. Monique, it is such a pleasure to have you on Untangle today. Thanks for waking up early and joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So I like to start sometimes by looking back as a way of getting to know you and asking, what were you like as a 10-year-old or even younger? What's your earliest memory of who you were as a human being?
It's so funny, like thinking back. Because dang, what was I like? But I would say I was a lot of different things. I was very shy, but I was very sure of myself, but also very unsure of myself, if that makes any sense. I was just figuring it out, just like everyone else. I was raised well by my parents. They put really good morals within me. And so I feel like I stood on those and knew that I needed to do right in life, if that makes sense. Well, I always just try to do right by people.
What does that mean, doing right? Is it a respect or integrity?
Yeah, just being solid on all fronts, being a good human being someone that people can rely on, being honest, being humble.
Beautiful qualities. And in your family, and it's nice that you had that foundation with your family. It's so lovely that you had that. When did you know that you wanted to play basketball?
That's so funny. So I was about 5 years old and my dad came to me one day and was like, hey, your friends are on a basketball team. Would you want to play with them? And at the time, like, I was not feeling it. I did not want to play basketball. I've always been super feminine, super girly. So like, I knew if I played basketball, I couldn't wear a dress and play basketball. So I was like, I really didn't want to play, but I wanted to make my dad proud. And so I tried it out, ended up loving it. And it
worked out.
Oh, nice. Did you try other sports at all? Or did your dad play basketball? Or this just was intuitive for you? You just started to play, loved it, and became great at it.
I've played a lot of different sports over the years. I used to track. I did some volleyball. And I was artsy. So I was like in Girl Scouts and I was in, you know, all the little extracurricular activities. So I had a pretty good balance. But my dad, he never played professional basketball. He played recreationally, but he was a specimen of a man, like his physique and everything. So I definitely got my genes from him. Pretty sure he recognized that for me at a young age. You know, might as well utilize it. I'm 6'3", so you might as well do something with that height.
Exactly. Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have a younger sister. Her name is Andrea. And it's funny because I took all the height in the family. Andrea is
Oh my tall. Gosh.
Yeah.
How tall is she?
She's taller than average. She's like 5'7", maybe 5'8", but I'm 6'3". So it's like the drastic difference.
I have some friends, one in particular that is that tall. And she always felt uncomfortable when she was younger. I remember her slumping so she could be shorter. Did you ever have any feelings about being tall? Did you feel like you needed to get down smaller to be with other people?
All the time. Like when I was younger, I would say before middle school, after middle school, I was like, okay, I'm tall. This is my superpower. I started having that mentality. But before then, oh yeah, I would slouch. I was taller than all the boys. You don't want to be taller than all the boys. So that was always a struggle for me and I hated it. But I didn't hate it too much because I did have basketball. That was my outlet. But yeah, and like a social aspect, they didn't have jeans for tall girls back then, for tall, skinnier girls. And so I was flooding and I was struggling. But I'm so happy that I went through all of that because it got me to where I'm at today. And I appreciate a lot of things a lot more.
Definitely. Are most of the women on the team, is everyone over 6 feet?
I would say so. There's a couple who aren't, but for the most part, the general height in the WNBA is probably over 6 feet.
Yeah. When you and I talked earlier, you mentioned something about feeling like an underdog. Was that as when you were growing up? And where did that come from? And did you ever deal with any depression or anxiety or any of those kinds of difficult emotions?
I feel like I've been an underdog pretty much my whole career, from high school to college to even coming to the pros. I've been slept on, which means counted out, sometimes not taken seriously, like always having to prove myself wrong. And I've loved that because it has put a fuel inside of me that I almost cannot describe. Like it just has put a hunger inside of me. And did I ever deal with depression or anxiety around that? No. Thankfully, I didn't. I've always been solid and grounded. I've had great parents around me who have kept me that way and allowed me to realize that it's an opportunity to sometimes be counted out, to sometimes prove people wrong, because like that's when you wake people up. I love waking people up. So I never dealt with those depression type of emotions, but I did deal with sadness. I was sad plenty of times. I was let down and I feel like I deserved some type of accolade that didn't end up happening for me. I was very upset, very let down, but all those tears and heartbreak have just made me strive for more and made me want to continue growing and becoming.
Well, we're going to get to your spiritual and meditation practice in a minute, and I bet that's helped with that as well. Here you are on this team and you travel all the time. I think you mentioned to me that you're in a new place every 6 months and you live out of a suitcase. What is your life like now?
What my life is like now. So a week and a half ago, I was in Australia. I was there for 4 months. A couple of days later, I was in California. A couple of days after that, I was in Atlanta. Now I'm back in California. In 4 days, I go back to Atlanta. Then I go back to California. Then I'll be in Atlanta for season. My life is hectic, but I'm so blessed because this is everything I prayed for. And it's like happening right before my eyes.
It's like, be careful what you wish for. How do you manage this hectic schedule? And do you have any kind of a routine at all? Or is that impossible?
Oh, yeah. No, routine is my middle name, as much as it can be. I have to be very flexible as much as I can with my routine, because sometimes it's not going to be perfect like I would like it to be. And I'm not able to hit all the points. But as long as I hit a couple, and what I mean by points, in the morning, I need to be still. And before I get on my phone, before I get on social media, before I answer texts,
I'm either journaling, reading my Bible, praying, meditating. In a perfect world, I'm doing all of that in my morning routine, which can usually take like an hour and some change. But if not, like this morning, it's an early one this morning. So I only had time to journal and pray and be in prayer. And so I'll hit some of the other points later throughout the day if I have time, but just making sure I'm grounded and set in the morning. Like my morning is just my foundation for the rest of my day. So that's probably my most important part of my routine.
When you talk about your meditation practice, because I know we talked about this a little bit and prayer is so important to you. When you sit and get silent with yourself, are you focused on your breath or are you repeating specific prayers in your mind? What actually are you doing?
I compare my meditation practice to like eating food. When I eat food, I don't eat the same food every single day. I switch it up. So with my meditation practice, I switch it up. So it just depends on what my spirit needs in that moment, what I'm feeling in that day. What that looks like for me is just taking it day by day. I don't really have a set plan. Sometimes it's just, I'm just going to sit here, listen to the slow, soft music, close my eyes, and I'm going to focus on my breath. And sometimes it's, I'm going to add movement. So I'm also going to do some yoga. Or other times, I'm just going to get on my hands and knees and pray, or I'm just going to journal. So it changes. Just like I said, like I eat different food every day. I meditate in a different way every day.
I also journal and meditate every day. And my journaling is sometimes it's remembering what I've done. Sometimes it's prompt writing. Sometimes it's gratitude. Do you have any kind of routine in your journal writing?
Yeah. So with my journal writing, I'll usually at the top of every single month, I'll write down like my intentions, my focuses, my goals.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. I love it because it keeps me on track and I can go back and look a year ago from now. I started doing this about a year ago. So I can go back and see like, oh, last March, this is what I wrote down. And I forgot about that. I might need to bring that one back up for this month or oh, I've done so well since and just my goals and intentions, whatever. That's a part of my journaling. But just as far as like my daily journaling, I guess just writing to myself. And maybe it's, I like to think of it as like a time capsule. So I can go back and look at it and see the progress that I've made or see just different challenges that I went through and overcame. But it makes me feel empowered to go back and say like, to see, wow, I dealt with this a year ago and a year goes by so fast and now I'm dealing with something else and there's so much more on the table. It's accountability, it's reflection, it's all of it.
That's fantastic that you have spent time doing this. It's so important. How do you practice mindfulness when you're not sitting in silence?
That's tough.
Even when you're playing basketball, is there a part of your ability to focus or to set an intention in the beginning of a game or to visualize the right shot? Do you have any practices like that?
Yeah, totally. So mindfulness to me is just being present. It's just being right where your feet are. So it's being in the moment. It's acknowledging and honoring that moment and saying, I'm going to be right here. I'm not going to be anywhere else mentally, spiritually, and physically. I'm here. So I'm going to honor that. That's mindfulness to me.
We will take a short break for one of our awesome sponsors, Born Shoes. I was so excited to try these cute, casual sandals made with top quality leather, perfect for all the traveling that I do. They're so comfortable for walking anywhere. I know exactly why their tagline is, "Take comfort in Born Shoes." Perfect. There are 5 new styles this spring, and I tried Ithaca and absolutely love them. But they also have boots and heels you should try. They feel as good as they look. Go to bornshoes.com today for a 15% discount plus ground shipping on all full price shoes when you use my promo code UNTANGLE. That's promo code UNTANGLE for 15% off and free shipping. Available exclusively to our listeners for just a limited time. Now, back to our show. We talked a little bit about self-discovery. And when we talked earlier, you said you are always thinking about who am I? Why do I feel this way? Will you talk a little bit about your process towards self-discovery?
Yeah, totally. I feel like I've always been like a pretty introspective person. And I've always just taken a look within, and I say I have a spirit. We all have a spirit. I've always been pretty sensitive to spirit, even since just a young age. And so I feel like I've always been spirit led and spirit guided. And so with that being said, I would feel a certain type of way if I'm in an environment where I'm around people who are doing things that I don't necessarily like to do. Like maybe they're gossiping, or maybe they're, I don't know, just doing something that I don't necessarily align with. And I feel that in my spirit. I don't really like this. I'm not really comfortable. I'm saying, I'm talking about just throughout my life at different points throughout my life, like high school, for example. You know, high school, you're finding yourself, you're discovering who you are. And I would just notice, like, I'd be around people listening to certain music. I was like, I don't really like this. Like, this doesn't really make me feel good. Or dressing a certain type of way. I'm like, everyone shops there, but I need to go here instead. And so I just had to develop a confidence. Like me, that inner spirit who was pulling at my heart the whole time and challenging me to discover who I was challenging me in those ways. Like, do you really like this music? Do you really like what you're wearing right now? Is that really you? Like I said, I've been sensitive to spirit, and me wanting to feel and be the best version of myself, I've just answered that calling that has been put on my heart to step out when it's uncomfortable, to just be in that self-discovery mode and constantly, because we're constantly evolving and changing. I'm not going to be this form of myself. I'm 25. I'm not going to be like this forever. But for right now, like, I like it. I like who I am. And I will continue just to, I want to like who I am, and I want to like who I am becoming.
You share that, especially in sports, we're taught to train our bodies, but not our minds. And I'm curious if you see a lot of mental health challenges in other players. And if so, what are you seeing? And what kinds of things are they doing to improve their own groundedness or mental stability and sense of calm?
I know all players, just like all human beings, go through trials and mental challenges. We're human. At the end of the day, athletes are humans too. So we're all going through it and all just trying to navigate that space. What do I see them doing? Unfortunately, I don't really even see the space being held for athletes to necessarily address or talk about that depression, pain, feeling, whatever they might be feeling. We're not really given that space because we're told to shut up and dribble. We are just expected to perform because we're performers. And yes, that's our job, but we're human beings at the same time. So it's a lot for us to balance. And so I don't know if athletes are always given the resources of how do you overcome these emotions that you're feeling. Like you mentioned earlier, we are taught to train our bodies, but we're not really taught to train our mind. And that should start from a young age. That starts from identity. Who am I outside of my sport? If I was no longer able to play my sport today, who am I? What do I stand on? What are my morals? That type of a thing.
Yeah. Some teams now have, I've noticed, director of cognitive science or a sports psychologist. Have you noticed that in any of the teams that you've been on?
Totally. So in college, there was resources. I'll just say resources. The resources are there if athletes would like to tap in with them. And I feel like that is something that's come about in the last few years. It hasn't always been that way, but there are definitely more resources for athletes to be able to have people to go to and talk to and just lean on, especially in tough times. So I'm grateful that it's becoming a lot more common to see that within a program or organization.
And do you think it's the pressure that causes some of the mental health challenges, or it's like a mix of a lot of different challenges? The pressure of winning, competition with your own teammates, just the rigor of practice. There seems like there would be so many challenges for people.
100%. It's everything. It's I am struggling in my personal life with my family or a relationship, but I have to go play this game. So I have to put all that on hold, and I have to go play this game on television, answer questions to the media. It's all of it. It does build up and add up. And if you don't know how to handle all of it, I mean, it's very easy to crack.
Have you seen that a lot? The cracking part?
I have, and it's been in different forms, but that's just the humanness. Like, that's the human side that comes out. Sometimes it happens, but then you have to learn how to rebuild yourself. And that's when you become a stronger version of yourself. You crack, but then you figure it out and you become bulletproof after that.
That is so well put. You have talked a lot about self-care and wellness for yourself and for others. Will you share a bit about your own overall self-care routine and how you find balance in all areas of your life?
Yes. So I am the self-care queen. Okay. I claim that I love self-care. It grounds me, as well as finding balance and being balanced. That's me. I just really enjoy different aspects of self-care and tending to my body, my mind, my spirit. And it's different every day. Some days it is the manis, the pedis, and getting massage. And other days it's mental, like mental food and the music that I'm listening to, podcasts, and just making sure I'm intaking good mental food. It just depends. That's self-care as well. Self-care is putting my phone away sometimes and saying, I'm not answering any texts today, or I'm not going on social media today. Self-care is just honoring yourself in the moment, listening to yourself, knowing what you need, and responding to that.
And what's your relationship to solitude when you're in your busiest? I know you said you get up in the morning and you have a little quiet time. How much inner or outer solitude can you build into your day and into your life?
I play in the WNBA, but I also play abroad. So I was just in Australia for 4 months. Solitude, pure solitude, because I am not around my family. I'm not around my friends. And yes, I have my teammates, but that's work at the end of the day. So you clock into work and then you clock out. And then the rest of my day, I'm pretty much in my apartment by myself doing my own thing. And when I'm at home in the States, it's a little different because I'm comfortable here. The States is, I grew up here. I know the land, and you can be in solitude and you can also not be in solitude. So you have more of an option, but I've played in 10 different countries. And so playing in those countries, if I'm in China, I'm in solitude. I don't know where to go in China. I can't even read the signs outside. So I'm going to stay inside for the most part, or Lebanon, South Korea, all the different places that I've been able to play. Solitude for me, I have a lot of solitude in some seasons, and then in other seasons, not so much. So I'm in my off season right now. And like I said, like, I've just been on the move, no solitude. And so I'm trying to find the solitude in different little patches when I can, here and there.
And how do you talk to the other players about this part of you, your meditation part, your prayer part, your solitude, your interest in being your best self? Do you have these conversations, or is this a private part of you?
Oh, absolutely. I'm an open book. So I love having deep and vulnerable conversations with those around me. It fuels me and it stimulates me. So I'm always open to having these conversations with teammates. And when I see someone going through a struggle or needing some advice, I always encourage them to try to adopt their own meditation practice, or try something different in their routine, whether that be journaling, praying, taking that moment of solitude, going on a walk and not bringing their phone, just switching up the routine, getting out of the matrix sometimes and taking a look within. I feel like that's huge. And so I always have these conversations with friends, even strangers, just whoever. I really like talking about this type of stuff.
You mentioned that you were writing a book about wellness.
Yes, ma'am.
What areas will you specifically focus on? And also, I wanted, just out of my own curiosity, I wanted you to share, what's your thought about nutrition for being your highest performing self?
Absolutely. So my book, Finding Balance, is addressing everything that we just talked about. It's really just the book for my younger self. It's the keys that I wish that I knew when I was coming up in the world and I was learning who is Monique outside of Monique, the basketball player, outside of Monique, the broadcaster. Who is she? What is she like? What type of people does she like to be around? Who does she want to be remembered as? Who does she want to show up as every single day? That's what the book is. And it's just different keys and aspects of life that I've had to learn that have brought me to this point and continue to carry me forward. So that's what my book is about. It's going to be launching very, very soon, and I'm so excited about it.
Oh, exciting. Yeah.
And nutrition. You mean food nutrition?
You're right. Nutrition could be a lot of things. Yes, I'm thinking food, diet for your highest performing self.
So again, I might sound like a broken record, but listening to my body and what my body needs is everything for me. So like I said earlier, I don't eat the same thing every single day. Some days I am so healthy. Last night, I'm actually proud of myself because I had salmon and potatoes and veggies, and it was so healthy and homemade. But then other nights, sometimes, very rarely, but sometimes like I go get a donut burger, which is...
What's a donut burger?
It's literally a donut burger. So it's two Krispy Kreme donuts with a burger patty, bacon, a side of fries, and a peach cobbler shake.
Oh my gosh. I'm sure you need that sometimes.
Oh yeah. And it's all about balance. I keep bringing it up, but it's really just balance, balance and moderation, listening to my body. I can't eat that every single day, obviously, but sometimes I'm like, yeah, you deserve a treat. You've been working hard all week. We're going to go get a donut burger.
I love it.
I love my relationship with food because me personally, I don't necessarily diet. I eat pretty clean just to make sure I can eat those donut burgers and not feel bad about it. It's all about just listening to your body and what it needs.
And do you feel a difference in how you play or how much energy you have when you're on the court when you've eaten a certain way, or is it really not correlated for you?
Yeah, for me, it is very much correlated. If I eat a donut burger before a game, probably not going to do too well that day. But if I eat pretty healthy and clean, one of my game day rituals is cooking brunch, and I make a delicious brunch, and it's pretty healthy and it's balanced. So that fuels me in a really great way.
What do you have for your brunch?
I mix it up, but I'll make like breakfast potatoes, bacon, eggs. Sometimes I'll make like breakfast croissants or French toast, pancakes, just whatever I'm in the mood for. Oatmeal is a big one and a lot of good fruit. So I'll make stuff like that. And that sets me up for a fantastic game day. And then even just being mindful about what I eat the night before. So pastas are pretty good. And this is just for me. Everybody's different. But for me,
right,
pastas have worked really well. Some type of like steak, potatoes, a veggie, those things have worked really well for me and my performance.
Did you find you had to shift your eating habits when you were in Australia, or were you pretty much able to do your normal eating?
Every country that I've played in, I've pretty much been able to do my normal routine. I don't eat out as much because I personally don't always feel like the options are always what I like. So I find myself cooking a lot, but cooking has been very therapeutic form of therapy for me, a therapeutic type of a thing.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, I enjoy cooking. And something else that I've noticed is the fruits and veggies are just extremely fresh in other countries. Like I said, I was in Australia, so it's super fresh there and great quality. So I enjoyed cooking.
Yeah. You have talked a little bit in the past about you see your purpose as a way to serve. I think you were giving some advice, and I asked you what advice you would give to other women. And you said, I love this. Don't water yourself down. I love that expression. Don't water yourself down.
Yeah, 100%. That's something that in this season of life that I'm stepping into that I am embracing, because I do feel like I am shy sometimes. I'm quiet. There's different sides of me, but I'm also learning that that's okay. So you have the version of yourself, for me, the version of Monique that's on the basketball court. She can't be shy or quiet. She has to be loud and aggressive and in a very graceful way, but I have to bring that side out. The broadcasting side of me on television also cannot be shy. I have to be loud and expressive and bring the crowd in and bring viewers in and get people excited about watching the game. But then the version of me who is talking to you right now, or just an everyday Monique, I would say, is she is quiet. She's introverted. She's an introverted extrovert. She's all of those things. So I've had to learn how to bring out those different sides at different times. It's definitely a challenge, but I like it because I am learning not to water myself down in different arenas and to go into any arena that I'm in and take up space in a very graceful and respectful way.
And I know you've also said that when you were growing up, you didn't have the same kind of societal pressure that social media creates for younger women. What would you say to them to ease some of that pressure?
Yeah, it's so much easier said than done, but be your own person. Be someone who you can be proud of. Be someone who you like. You don't want to be someone who you don't like. How are you going to live with yourself if you don't like yourself? It's like that Lauryn Hill quote. How are you going to win when you're not right within, when you ain't right within? So always just tend to the garden within. That's what I like to say.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Fill up your own cup, because if you're not able to fill up your own cup, or you're trying to serve others or live a life with an empty cup, you're doing yourself a disservice. So all that pressure that I feel for young women and young girls, because I know it's hard nowadays, seeing societal standards, you can only be considered pretty if your body looks like this, if you have this much makeup on, if your hair is like this. It's tough, but honestly, like, we're all created so unique. We all are created with a purpose. So just be the best version of yourself.
What are some of the books that you've read that inspire you?
I've been trying to be pretty diligent with my reading routine, I would say, within the last year. Clarity and Connection by Young Pueblo has been one of my favorites. I read a book by Oprah and Dr. Perry. I don't remember his name, but it's called What Happened to You. That's a good one. The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F. That was a really good one as well. My teammate actually gave that to me. An older teammate, a vet, had given that to me when I was a rookie. And that was a really good one for me.
Yeah, that sounds like a good
one. Yeah, those are a couple books that have been in my arsenal.
Monique, I feel like you have so much wisdom for a young woman your age. It's just so refreshing. Who are some of the heroes, mentors, some of the people that have inspired you throughout your journey?
Well, thank you for such a kind compliment. That means a lot. And I have to give a lot of credit to my parents, my mom and my dad. They did a good job. They did a fine job. And so I am most grateful. And I do all the things that I'm doing now to honor them, because I know they sacrificed so much for me just to get to where I'm at today. So I am nothing without my foundation, which is my parents. And shout out to God, because they gave me and taught me how to have a relationship with God and to be a God-fearing woman.
And then you shared with me that your dad passed away this past November. How do you feel his presence in everything that you're doing right now? What has he left with you?
Amazing question. I do feel his presence literally every single day in different forms. And it's a tough process. Like the grieving process, you just don't know what it's like until you really go through it. But I'm honoring that process by accepting everything that comes. Some days I'm in tears and I'm just bruised. I'm not even going to say broken, but I'm bruised. And then other days I'm excited and living his legacy, listening to the music that he used to listen to and just vibing out in that type of way. So those are just the different ways that I feel his spirit. But just the knowing, he was just such a solid and grounded person. Like I mentioned earlier, I got my groundedness from him. Just that knowing that he was always trying to be the best version of himself every single day. That right there is how I embody his spirit, by trying to be the best version of myself every single day. And he has a quote that is my favorite quote. It's to be better than yesterday, but not as good as tomorrow. Living by that, I feel like, is how I embrace his spirit and continue his legacy.
Yeah. What a beautiful gift. I am so happy that you're sharing your light now with others. I feel like you have so much wisdom to share and so much to give. And I'm grateful that I was able to talk to you today about all of this.
Wow. Yes. Thank you. I'm just as grateful. This was fantastic. So thank you so much, Patricia.
Great to have Monique on our show today. If you have suggestions or feedback, as always, reach out at untangle@choosemuse.com. And don't forget to check out the Muse Brain Sensing Headband also at choosemuse.com. Have a great week, and we will see you next time.